Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Elder Carl, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, my brother. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
No, I'm good. I'm good. It's a blessing to be back on the radio speaking with,
yes,
with the listeners.
Man,
actually, speaking with you, yes.
It's actually been a while, eh? So have you been good, actually?
No, I'm good. Every day with God is a blessing. You know, God has been good to me and to my family. So, yeah, nothing to complain about on my side.
Ah, fantastic, man. Great to hear that. Now, we are talking, I think, for the next 3 days with you, you know, about the nature of humanity, which is one of the main fundamentals, or the fundamental beliefs, rather, of the SDA Church. Now, human nature is a complicated thing, you know, to understand. The first step is in understanding who we are as humans, is understanding where we come from. And I think this is where we are going to be starting. So, my elder, please do share with us the origins of humanity. Where did this all begin? Where do we come from? Some others are saying we're coming from apes and we evolved, and bit by bit and over years we then became human, and here we are. And others have got all sorts of different theories. And others are saying, man, we were created by the Creator. Others are saying, well, it was a big bang and boom, we were there. But where do we come from? What's the actual story there?
You know, the first step in understanding who we are as human beings, like what you said, is understanding where we come from.
Mm.
You know, so when we turn our Bibles to the second chapter of Genesis, the Bible paints a full picture for us to understand, so that we don't have any question marks. Now, when we go to the second chapter of Genesis, we see that it's the sixth day of creation. And at this moment in the creation week, God had, at this moment, he had finished crafting the world. He had made the sun, God had made the moon, he had made the seas, he had separated the dry lands, he had created the trees, the plants, he filled the earth, you know, with all sorts of plants and animals. But now on this sixth day, you know, he was ready to create his masterpiece. And I would like to read from Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, "Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living creature, or a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and then he put the man whom he had formed." So when we look at this account that we're finding in Genesis, the Bible is telling us exactly where we come from. The Bible is telling us that we come from dust. And the only reason that we live is because God breathed life into us. Now, this tells me a couple of things about who we are as human beings and who we are in terms of our human nature. The first thing is that we were created, we are created beings, and we owe our very existence to God because he's the one that made us. So we're not a result of evolution. We're not a result of millions of years of random events that eventually enabled us to pop out of random chance. You know, it's like saying a beautiful sculpture is a result of throwing rocks together. There has to be a designer behind it. So we are unique individuals in the sense that God was personally involved in creating humanity. So everything else on earth, the stars, the plants, the animals, they were spoken into existence. But here we see with humankind, with mankind, God took time to come down to the earth, to reach into the earth, to take the dust of the ground, the Bible tells us, to sculpt the first human being with his own hands. God cared enough so much that, you know, he made us unique individuals in the sense that, you know, because we are so precious to him, he made us in his image. So, like, if I have to summarize, where do we come from? I would say that God created mankind. He created mankind, male and female, in his image to rule over the earth. And this creation account in Genesis reveals humanity's unique place in creation as beings that have moral, spiritual, and intellectual capacities that were created in God's image to have dominion over God's creation on this earth. So we are, my ancestors, not a monkey or ape or whatever the schools try to teach us. The Bible shows us that we come from the hands of God.
Now, thank you so much, my elder. You know, the first thing you pointed us to is the Bible in proving our background or where we come from. And you're saying that we're created by God and that's where we come from. But for an unbeliever, a person who does not read the book that you read or the book that you chose to reference, do we have anything outside of the book that you quoted that could tell us or confirm or corroborate the story that you shared that is actually from God? Is there anything like that? Because I do imagine many may say, well, I don't believe in that book, so show me something else. Do we have anything else at all that actually corroborates that story?
You know, it's the Bible is not just a book. The Bible is a living book. The Bible is a record of history. The Bible has been confirmed in terms of what it says by even scientists. Now, say someone hasn't read the Bible, for example, and they say, okay, prove to me to say that mankind was created in the image of God. Well, prove to me that mankind is different from, say, animals. Now, when we look at human beings, we possess specific capabilities that other beings on earth do not have, other creatures on earth do not have. There is something that is unique about human beings, certain characteristics that are unique and are only found in human beings, qualities that we also find when we look at God, qualities that God expresses. You know, the Bible says, you know, God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let us have dominion over, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock. And the Bible says God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and he told them to multiply. So I will tell a person like that to say, when you look at an animal and you compare it to a human being, an animal, it can sense their surroundings and be aware of their surroundings. But we as human beings can sense our surroundings, but we can make decisions based on a moral standard, which is found within us, something that we get from God. I can also tell a person to say, you know what, when we look at animals and we compare them to human beings, animals do not have that creativity that human beings have, which is an attribute that we got ultimately from the Creator God. Because we were made in his image, we have a unique ability to engage creatively with our environment. And, you know, like, for example, Adam was given the task to name the animals. Adam was told to cultivate the Garden of Eden. And this reflected his ability to process information and to creatively respond to that information, something that animals cannot do.
I do apologize cutting you there because our time is going. So what you're saying is that we don't have any other evidence for our origins except from the Bible.
The Bible is the ultimate source for myself as a Christian.
Yeah, I get that. But what I'm trying to get my elder, is you've made that abundantly clear. And I think that as people who read across all, readings and all sorts of information, you are saying to me that the origins of humanity are not recorded anywhere else except in the Bible.
For myself, I would say that it is recorded in the Bible, but there is evidence when you look at creation itself, that mankind is not the same as, is not in the same category as you find other animals or species. Like, say, for example,
effectively, you would then say, apart from it being recorded in scripture, we can use common sense. That's what you're saying.
We can use common sense and we can look at evidence.
Okay.
So, say, for example, with scientists, they want to look at evidence. So, look at the evidence, look at the human nature and compare it to the nature of animals and see if they match. If they do not match, that automatically tells you to say that mankind was not created in the image of animals, but in the image of a higher being. And when you look at the characteristics of that higher being, then you'll be able to go to the Bible and relate and see to say that actually mankind, what the Bible is telling us, is actually relating to the physical evidence that we see in terms of man's character and man's capabilities. Because, you know, when we look at human beings, we have the capacity to transform the world through technology, art, culture, and that reflects that creative aspect of being made in God's image, because God created the earth and he gave us the ability to create things within the earth, something animals cannot do, you know. So he made us to be able to express these attributes that he has within ourselves, because we were made in his image. But that's a maybe we'll get into that a bit later.
All right. Now, you keep on saying that we're made in his image. I want to know what exactly is that referring to. Is it our physicality or are there other ways in which we are created in his image?
You know, I briefly touched on how, like, we were made in his image. There's certain aspects of God's image that we find in humanity. So, for example, like, God is the ultimate creator. So humans were made in his image and have this ability to engage creatively with the environment that's around us. And we are able to transform the world through this creativity that God has given within us. And God, remember, God created the earth and he gave us the ability to create things within the earth. Though God provides every material that we can use, he made us able to express ourselves through the work of our hands. That's number one. Number two, we were created in God's image in terms of, remember, Adam was given authority in Genesis 1, verse 26 to 28, because God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over all the earth. Now, for me, this means that humans, particularly Adam, the first man, was designed to reflect God's authority, God's wisdom, God's character, by ruling over creation. And Adam kind of mirrored God's sovereign rule over the universe and embodied his image on a smaller scale by having dominion on this earth. So Adam's authority over the earth was, it's not in a sense of meaning to he must exploit the earth, but he must care for it as a steward. And God gave Adam the responsibility, you know, of the well-being of all the earth and its creatures. And that reflected God's nurturing and sustaining a nature in how he looks after the universe. What else? God gave us the ability to choose. Now, how does that reflect, you know, God's image? You know, no one can choose the life that they are given, but we can choose what to do with what we are given. You know, when we choose what we give our attention to in terms of our love, our allegiance, we then kind of also reflect God's character, because God didn't want us to be programmed to follow him. So he wants our hearts, and he wants us to willingly give our hearts to him. And free agency is a key component of the nature of humanity. And from the moment that Adam and Eve were created, they had control over their thoughts, their actions, their desires. And Genesis paints a picture of what humanity was always meant to be. not what it is right now. So we were designed to be unique individuals with creative hearts, minds that were endowed and had the power to choose. We were designed to take care of this world, to rule this world, and to be good stewards of this incredible planet that God gave us. But most importantly, we were designed in God's image, and we were supposed to have a loving relationship with Him. So in summary, what I can say is that, you know, being created in God's image is not strictly physical. It refers to our spiritual and moral nature, as well as our ability to reason, our ability to make choices, our ability to form relationships. It reflects our calling to like mirror God's character. Now, what is God's character? God's character is love. It's justice. It's holiness. So unlike animals, humans can comprehend the divine. Humans can act intentionally, morally. Humans can relate to God. So
right.
That's how we were created in His image, if you look at it that way, compared to animals.
That's fine. Now, let's actually wrap up our conversation. We literally have just a few moments before we finish. Now, some have taken the message that we're created in God's image to mean that we are literally godlike, like, you know, meaning that we are little gods ourselves. Would that be accurate? Why would you say it is, or why would you say it is not?
You know, we need to remember that image bearing is not equal to being divine. You know, being created in God's image means that humans were made to reflect God's attributes, like morality, creativity, rationality, the capacity for relationships. But reflecting God's image doesn't mean that humans were created as divine beings. So God is perfect. God is infallible. But human beings, even though we are made in His image, are still finite creatures. This means that Adam and Eve, while they were bearing God's likeness, were not omnipotent. They weren't omniscient, and they were morally, if I can say, infallible. And Adam and Eve, they were created, like I said, with free will, which is a reflection of God's image in a sense that God has the freedom to choose. However, unlike God, who is always righteous, humans have the capacity to choose between good and evil. And that ability to exercise that free will gave them the potential to disobey God. And their fallibility lays in their freedom to make choices, which they exercised when they chose to disobey God. So, you know, maybe to close that up, you know, Adam and Eve, they were created innocent rather than saying they were created perfect. And they were morally pure, but they had not yet been tested. And the tree of knowledge of good and evil represented the test of their trust and their obedience to God. So unfortunately, when they were tempted by Satan, the serpent, they failed the test. And that showed their infallibility. That showed that, how can I put it? That their infallibility was conditional on their continued obedience to God. So the fall of Adam and Eve was, yes, it was part of a larger narrative in God's plan for humanity. And their sin revealed mankind's vulnerability. But
hang
it
on,
also set
on.
The
you,
stage
you,
for...
Yeah, you know, you're mentioning, and the time is completely off. You're talking about infallibility here.
Yes.
Now, if we're created in God's image and God is infallible, we can then conclude that Adam and Eve should therefore have been infallible like God.
No. Adam and Eve were created in God's image with the capacity for free will and the capacity for moral responsibility. Their fallibility was part of their nature as finite beings, whereas God's infallibility is rooted in His eternal and perfect nature. So the only way that they could remain infallible is by being obedient to God. But when they disobeyed God, it showed that they were infallible. So it's not that they were created perfect and they were divine. Their righteousness was based on their obedience to God and their holding on to the source of life, which is God. But when they disobeyed, it showed that they were infallible. They were fallible rather than infallible.
Okay, Elder Carl Vajura, thank you so much for giving us your time. We're going to be connecting again tomorrow, same time and same place. But thank you so much for this afternoon.
Okay, thank you, my brother.
Lovely, thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.